present Firefly Summer by Maeve Binchy, dramatised by Jane Cassidy.
What was it? The river teased the...
John? Will you come down to the bar? I have to go across the river to Fern's Court and see what's keeping the twins. They have to be polished and smartened for the concert.
Oh, well, give me a minute.
Please, John. They'll be late as it is. Listen, bring your paper and pencil down with you. There's likely to be no one in.
Look at her, running across the bridge like a young girl. As pretty as the day I married her. You're not wearing so well, John Ryan, with your pot belly. You're in your prime, and what have you achieved? Sure, I would like 4 children and a slow sort of a business. Now, if there was just a bit more of a turnover, I could employ another pair of hands and write poetry full-time. Aye, and produce 2 poems a year instead of 1. Ah, you've gone soft, John Ryan. What about the men who wrote the poetry of angels in the stinking trenches of war, eh? Now, if it were Kate, she'd have a poem polished off between pulling a pint and getting tea for the kids. Oh, sure. Sure, I couldn't sit at the counter with a paper and pencil. The locals would think I was topping up my profits and making a million.
Great day, John.
Well, Jack, it's been a great day all the time.
Beautiful.
Bad for the crops.
When were you lot ever pleased with the weather? I see the missus on her way over to Fern's Court.
Twins are there morning, noon and night.
And what would they be doing over there?
Ah, you know, kids making their own little den there.
Why wouldn't the youngsters from hereabouts have a bit of fun in the old ruins? Isn't that what we burned it down for?
No, Sean, look, that's all in the past and best left there.
1922. 40 years ago. Well, not so long at all. So didn't I stand out there and watch it burn?
No, Mr. Murphy. We were just talking about a price for that fine Volkswagen Beetle I have in my yard.
Mr. Coyne, I could buy myself a tractor and a bit of a car for the £50 that you're asking.
I have to make a living, Mr. Murphy, just like yourself. I can do no better than £45.
It's 10 year old, you say. Can't be worth more than 25.
Mr. Murphy, if I sell it at that, I'll be selling it at a loss.
Well, Mr. Coyne, suit yourself. All the best, John.
See you, Sean.
In the name of God, does a man make a living in a place like this?
Tell me about it, Jack. Here.
Well, I left him at the writing as long as I could. I've only got 2 arms and 2 legs. I can't do everything. And if I could sit for an hour and a half upstairs, what would I do? And where do you think you'd get a free 5 minutes to yourself, Kate Ryan, even if you had the inclination to... God, isn't this a great place for the children to run wild? I had nothing like this space when I was a child. The twins want to live here in their own little house when they grow up. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. They're so like me, those two. I never saw it before till I looked at that photo of myself today, looking like the avenging angel as usual. God help them, they've that awful solemn look of mine, as if they're concentrating too hard. I'm missing the obvious every time.
Michael, Dara! Mom, what are they?
What? Where?
Those men out there, what are they doing?
It looks as if they're... I suppose they're doing a survey or something.
What are those things they're using?
They're, The Theodolites. That was in the Irish Times crossword last week.
They shouldn't be there, the Theodolites. Tell them it's private land. Go on, ma'am. Tell them to go away.
Oh, no, things are Theodolites, not the people. The men are surveyors, I suppose. Anyway, it isn't private land. If it were, you wouldn't be here.
Ask them, like, will they be coming back again? Or is it only today that they're doing their photographing? You ask them, Mum, please.
I have only one thing to ask. Why, when I gave you my very good alarm clock and the strictest instructions to be back home at 4 o'clock, why is it 4:30 and we are all here?
We didn't really play at all. We've just been wondering what...
And hoping to go away.
And not understanding it one bit.
And not liking it one bit.
Home!
Here, grab this. I still can't reach him. Still can't reach him.
Declan, what on earth is going on?
We are just rescuing Mars. We are just rescuing Mars from the river, Mum.
And what is he doing in the river? Tortoises can't swim, lads.
I know, Mum. We made a little raft, but it sort of floated off and...
Right. We'll have words about this later, Edward. Go and wash your face.
Mum.
You too, Declan.
Mum, why
don't
you...
Now, no ice cream for either of you at the concert tonight.
Why don't you get a fishing net and fish him out?
No, Eddie. Don't ask me again. No ice creams. You almost drowned that poor animal.
My goodness, that's a very short skirt for a teacher. I wonder what the canon will make of Miss Lynch's Minnie. She has everyone dazzled into this flipping concert. All to impress Fergus Slattery, of course. I should think the miniskirt would do the trick without having to organise the whole parish.
Hello, Kate.
Fergus, hello.
And how does the master of the house escape this great cultural event?
Somebody has to run the bar. I know it looks as if half the country is here, but you'd be surprised how many men find the excuse for a drink when their children are up there on the stage.
It's well for them. I can't say that I have to work on a Saturday evening. They don't think solicitors work at all, but my office is too near. I'd actually have to be in the window in my short sleeves before they believe me.
What, you mean you wouldn't want to come? With Nora Lynch killing herself to impress you.
Impress me?
Why else would that young girl work all hours of the day and night and show herself to be part of a small backwater like this, unless it was to prove to you that she could fit in?
Why would she want to prove that to me?
Aren't you and she going out?
Yeah, sure. Well, we go out to the pictures and go to a dance. Well, there's nothing in it.
What do you mean there's nothing in it? Aren't you the right beast to be leading her on and then tell me there's nothing in it? You know, the older I get, the more I believe the nuns were right. Men are basically wild animals at heart.
No, but there is nothing in it. I mean, we don't love each other or anything. Or have the same plans or the same hopes. Nothing has been said or agreed, truly.
I believe you. Oh, Lord, protect me or mine from ever falling for a lawyer. You have yourself covered from every angle.
Oh, but she doesn't think...
Slow you down.
Good evening, Canon, Father Hogan, Reverend Sisters, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the first combined effort from the boys and girls schools. As an outsider, I feel privileged to be allowed to get involved in something as much a part of the community as this is.
How old are you, Fergus Slattery?
I'm 27.
27 years in the world, and you try to tell me that young woman had no hopes of you. May God forgive you. I mean it, Fergus. May he forgive you and send you some kind of sense.
I would like to introduce the convent choir who are going to sing for us the Fairy's Love Song.
God of Almighty, Kate Ryan's right. Nora thinks I'm going to marry her. What in the name of God am I going to do? Should I say something to her? Or just avoid her for a while? Maybe there's no need to do anything. Should I ask Kate's advice? No. She already thinks I'm a total idiot. There's Sheila Whelan serving the teas. I could maybe ask her what would be the right approach with Nora. Yeah, Sheila's the kind of woman you could go to if you committed a murder, and she's the soul of discretion. Sheila'll know what I should do for the best. You're the only sensible woman in this town, Mrs. Whelan.
And what can I do for you, Fergus?
You mean I wouldn't say it unless I wanted something?
Not at all.
Look, is my name up with Nora Lynch?
Why do you ask?
Because Kate Ryan told me it was. And as true as the day is long, I swear it, I didn't mean it to be.
Well, if there's any misunderstanding, I'm sure you'll sort it out.
Well, is there any misunderstanding, Mrs. Wheeler? That's what I'm asking you. I don't want to go sorting things out if there's nothing to get sorted.
Oh, nobody tells me anything, Fergus.
Look, I'm only asking you about me, not about other people.
As I said, I have not got an idea in the wide world. I know, if you think that there's some confusion, sure will you be the man to clear it up, one way or another.
By saying something out straight, you mean? Like, I don't want to marry you.
Other people go to you with their business, Fergus. You're as much in demand now as your father. And that's your job, after all. Now, if there's a need for the right words, you'll find them.
You know, you'd have been great as a prisoner of war, Mrs. Whelan. The secrets would have been safe with you, all right.
Here, Mrs. McCarthy, can I give you a wee heat up?
Oh, Fergus, I was so glad when I saw you'd come. Didn't it all go so well?
Hello, Nora. Look, I thought we might go up on the hill. Afterwards.
The hill?
It's a nice, quiet place to talk. I have something I want to say to you.
I'd love that. I could get away in about 5 minutes.
What? Right. Okay.
What am I all driving around in old wrecks of cars tied together with bits of wire? I wonder just what kind of establishment is going to be built over at Ferdinand's Court. Maybe they'll be needing to hire a few vehicles on a regular basis. This could be it, Jack Coyne. Your chance to make a bit of serious money for a change.
Michael, we've got to find out what's going on at Ferdinand's Court.
Here's Jack Coyne coming. He always has his ear to the ground.
Good morning, Mr. Coyne.
Oh, gallivanting.
Have you heard any news about what's happening to Ferdinand's Court?
Well, I hear there's big plans for the place.
What plans?
Oh, that'll be telling. There's one thing for certain. You put an end to all that trick acting by the children of this parish, I'm glad to say. You'll have to start to do a day's work for a change. Like I had to do at your age.
I'll take a pint. Did you hear that some fella pulled a pike from the River Fern there and its gills were full of oil? So I'd say the drilling will start over in Fern's Court.
Fern's Court is going to be completely rebuilt as an agricultural college.
Really? Oh, that will mean lecturers and students
and all sorts of talent not seen in these parts before.
I have it on the best authority that Fern's Court has been bought by an order of contemplative nuns. They'll be having a grill on the window and pull it back so that one nun will be able to address the outside world when it's necessary, which won't be often. Jimbo, they're bound to be needing a handyman around the place, and you should get in quick before someone else does.
Get in quick? What do you want me to do? Write to the Pope or maybe the Bishop saying I'm their man?
It's mainly nuns, but there's a considerable weight of opinion behind a college, and a strong vocal minority think it's going to be a development of 12 luxury bungalows.
Which would be best?
It depends where you stand.
It's going to make everyone look out for themselves.
Come here till I show you what we do with these papers, Fergus.
God. Look, you don't really have to work as hard as this on your very first day, Mrs. Ryan.
I'm delighted with myself. It's just great to be behind a typewriter again after all these years. Look at these. It won't take you a minute.
No, no. That's your work. That's what we pay you inordinate sums of money for, so that I don't have to look at things like that.
Wrong. You have to understand it. Otherwise, it's useless to any of us. You won't know where to put back a letter, find a counsel's brief, where the deeds are, anything. Suppose I get the flu or you sack me or you're working late at night.
Come on, do you run the pub like this too? You know, I am surprised the place isn't a gold mine with your organisational skills.
Would I be setting up filing systems for beautiful professional men too lazy to look at them if it was a gold mine? Now, suppose you had this query from the town agent's clerk about the fee in that workman's compensation case. Where'd you look?
Well, in the bad old days, I'd look on the table over there at the window.
And in the good days that have now come.
Oh, God, look, I've forgotten. Young Mrs. Ryan, show me, show me.
Oh, thank God I'm happily married. You'd break my heart.
Here, tell me. Are you sure you're happily married?
I'm very sure. And isn't it time you had a romance yourself? Now that Nora Lynch has gone off to fresh fields and better chances, we hear nothing about your activities.
God, after that business with Nora, I'm afraid to lay my eye or hand on anyone. Oh, no, there's no activities to hear about. God, it was a terrible misunderstanding.
You lost us a fine school teacher over it all. But anyway, enough of this. Right, this workman's name was Burke, so where are you going to look for
this
file?
Miss, under the bees, miss.
Glory to God, we have a child prodigy.
What are you doing, Daddy? I thought you were upstairs writing.
Are you changing things? Is that it?
I have a bit of a plan.
I bet it's something new and desperate.
It was just a plan to gather all the hens together in a run. That's all it was.
They're perfectly all right the way they are. They don't want to be gathered. They love things just as they are.
Look, come here and give your old father a hug.
I don't feel like it.
All right, eh? I know exactly. It's the same with me. I don't feel like writing now, so I come down to play with the chickens.
Daddy, are we poor?
No, we're not poor.
But we're not rich, are we?
You don't have to be one or the other. You can be in between, like most of us are around here.
Will we ever be rich?
We'll be all right. What's the worry about money, anyway?
We're going to need it to buy our house.
But we have a house, you silly thing. This is our house.
Not here. Our house across in Fairnscourt. People are saying that an American with lots of money is going to buy it.
Ah, no. Dara.
It's our house. Michael's and mine.
Well, more older, we'll fix it up. Make a roof, and we'll all live there.
Look, Michael, that's only a dream.
No, it isn't.
Yes, of course it is, like going to see the man in the moon. I mean, do you remember when you were very young, we used to take you out to have a look at the man in the moon before you went to bed? Now, you don't think it's a man up there. You're quite happy to look at the moon for itself as something beautiful lighting up the sky over Mount Fern.
That's not the same.
I know it's not the same. But I was just saying the way we look at things changes as life goes on. It couldn't always stay the same. Otherwise, we'd all be still living in caves with clubs, or if we didn't grow up in some kind of way, we'd all be in nappies, waddling around the place in playpens.
You don't understand. When this awful American comes...
Look, Dara, he won't be awful. In fact, I hear he has children around your age, and you'll get on great with them, as sure as anything.
I won't.
Look, you will.
Well, I'm feeling a little lightheaded. It's been a long time since I stayed up all night. Well, you used to do it all the time back in the 30s, didn't you? During the Depression. Had to. Hauling boxes and crates. Doing favors here, picking up the odd job over there. Had to convince a lot of Italians and guys with long Polish names that they could count on Patrick O'Neill. Patrick O'Neill will get the job done. He won't let you down. You can always rely on Patrick O'Neill. And they could rely on me. And my truck. To move what had to be moved. And not to ask questions. And then, after Prohibition, the payback. Patrick O'Neill in big, bold letters over neighborhood bars and then bar restaurants. Oh, yeah. There were a lot of long nights then, too. Playing host to those same Italians and Poles. Flowers for the wife and a discreet smile when they'd bring along their girlfriends. It's funny, though. I don't remember spending even one night awake during Kathleen's illness. But then there was never a night I didn't believe that she was going to get better. Now, let me see. The last time I remember staying up all night was the night that Carrie was born. 1947. It had been a long, hard labor for Kathleen, but when dawn broke, I was there. Holding my son in my arms. And I promised him right then that one day I'd take him back to Ireland to claim what was rightfully his. Back where his ancestors had been humiliated and starved and then forced out by the Fern family. Well, Carrie, now I own it. Fernscourt. Every last stone and blade of grass of it. And now you're going to see it rise again. I'm going to make it rise again.
So this has to be Patrick O'Neill. Much younger, more attractive than I expected. What a handsome man he is. He'll set a few hearts fluttering here without a doubt. He certainly looks Irish enough. He could swing a shovel with those shoulders. And the curly hair, that must be from the O'Neills. He looks pale, but tired. But he's blessed with the kind of face that always looks as if he's smiling, even when he's not.
And you're very welcome to these parts, Mr. O'Neill.
Oh, thanks very much. How did you know it was me? Did you know my people?
Oh, now, who else would it be, Mr. O'Neill? Haven't I a foot of telegrams and messages for you up at the post office? Would you like a cup of tea and I'll give them to you?
Now, that's what I call efficiency.
Are you out with your stopwatch in case I'm 3 seconds late?
I was just waiting for the bells to ring for Mass. If there had been one bee, you'd have been fired. No, I was having a good stretch, actually.
Oh, don't you look like a Greek god?
Oh, stop.
Did you have a good time in Ballycane last night?
How did you know where I was?
She wasn't there myself, dancing away beside you. You never even saw me.
Oh, God. No, you weren't. Now, don't be ridiculous. Who told you?
Jack Coyne. Some fella couldn't start his car and he rang Jack at all hours of the morning to go and pick him up.
God, you can do nothing in this place, can you? And there I was thinking it wasn't such a bad place. No surprises, eh?
Do you want surprises?
No. No, I think I'll lay off surprises for a while. Jack Coyne.
God almighty. He is going to build a hotel.
Hmm? What? Let me see. Well, I won't act for him. He can find his own attorney or counsellors or whatever they call him over there.
Why won't you act for him?
Because if his application is granted and he gets his licence, he'll open a pub.
You have to take his business.
I do not have to take his business, thank you. I can accept or refuse any work I like. I am not going to accept anything which is going to take the bread and butter out of your mouth. Oh, Kate. Oh, no, Kate, look, I'm...
Oh, sorry,
Here, here, look. Do you want to go home and tell John?
No, no, not for a while.
Look, Kate, maybe you should. I mean, you need to tell John before somebody else does.
Nobody else will tell him.
Here, here, look.
Come on, let's open some more mail, shall we? Who knows what other little surprises may be lurking in these nice little brown envelopes.
You know, I haven't sat on the back of a horse in years. Seems a little silly to begin again at the age of 48.
No, indeed. It's the perfect age to start. Does your wife like the idea of riding?
My wife passed away this year, Miss Johnson.
Oh, I'm most awfully sorry.
Yeah, she'd been in poor health for a long time. My goodness, this is a gorgeous part of the country.
Well, just around this next bend, you'll get the most marvellous view of the ruins of old Ferns Court House. They say it's going to be sold.
I bought it. It's mine.
Oh, of course. Everyone's been expecting you. Oh, stupid of me. Well, well, what a beautiful place you've got for yourself, Mr. O'Neill. And will you be making a home of it?
No, I'm afraid I'm going to be your competition, Miss Johnson. I'm going to build a hotel.
Oh?
Well, maybe competition's too strong a word. Maybe cooperation's the word I'm looking for. I'm sure we can find ways to cooperate. If you wanted to, say, expand your riding school and offer your stables to my guests at Ferns Court, I'm sure we can work that out.
Well, you certainly don't beat around the bush. I admire honesty in a man. Do you know anything about the hotel business?
Well, I've got a small motel in New Jersey, and I own a number of bars and restaurants, so I suppose you could say I know something about what the public wants. But I'm not only interested in tourists, you know, the American package tour business. I want the local people to be involved in this project, too. It's been hundreds of years since the people of this area have had any real access to Ferns Court or the land that rightfully belongs to them. Well, it's not going to be like that from now on, I can tell you that.
It's been a ruin for years. Oh, we used to go there on picnics when I was a girl.
No, I mean before that, when the Ferns were here. When they barred everybody from their door.
Did they? How stupid of them.
Miss Johnson, do you suppose we could get together again and discuss your views on the possibilities of tourism in this area?
I see unlimited possibilities.
I've met him, surely. Didn't I serve him a pint with my own hand not an hour ago? One of nature's gentlemen. Sure, wasn't I right? It's a hotel he's for building. And there's to be no closing the place down in winter time, leaving the boys and girls to find some other jobs for the long, cold months from September.
Tommy, you're to settle yourself and quit running around the ruins of Ferns Court with those young Ryans. This is a chance sent from heaven for you to better yourself. That hotel will need a shop on the premises to sell things. You have to be ready to seize your chance.
But I'm only 12. How could I seize a shop?
Because of a man. Is that what you're telling me? And you say he was driving a car of mine. Oh, glory be to God. It's not that yank I did the dirty on at the station. Bloody liar he is. Didn't you tell me he was only here for the fishing? Never mentioned he bought Ferns Court or any plans for any hotel or whatever. Trying to catch me out. And I charged him the sun, moon and stars for that whole wreck of a car and gave him a lousy rate for his dollar on top of it all.
That's never the time.
No. I came home a bit early.
What is it? You all right?
Fine.
What is it then?
Did you hear what's happening to Ferns Court? They're going to make it into a hotel, have a bar. Americans are going to stay there. And there'll be a bar the size of a football pitch. He's put in for planning permission.
Yeah, I heard that it was going to be a hotel, all right. Tommy was around with the mineral water deliveries. Oh, he left the invoice there on the shelf, by the way.
Will you stop bleating on about invoices? It's mighty few of those we'll be seeing in the future. Did you hear what I said?
I heard you, Kate. How many times do I have to tell you not to go off at half cock about every single thing? Look, we'll hear in good time what he's going to do. It might be the making of us for all we know. A whole lot of new people come into the place, a lot of new business we never had before.
The making of us? How could it be anything but the end of us? We never had any real competition, and even then we barely make a living. How can you be so blind?
Listen to me. I know you put in all the hours that God gives you, making a life for us. But answer me this. Why am I being blind? What should I have done? Should I have bought the place myself, or killed the fellow who did? I'm standing here minding what I agree is, at the moment, a very slow business, and hoping that there's going to be some kind of good spin-off instead of doom and disaster for us. And you come in, rushing in the door, shouting at me like a tinker woman and saying I'm blind. But that's a lot of help, Kate.
Oh, hello. Is it possible you have a bottle of Jack Daniels I could have?
Oh, I'm sorry, Marion. They might have it up in the town. A very fancy taste. You're getting above in the Grange.
It's for Mr. O'Neill. He told me he's going to open a hotel and there'll be rich Americans coming to stay. And of course some of them will want to ride horses. Isn't it great?
I'd have thought you'd be very put out. Isn't that all your kind of business he's going to be taking?
Heavens no. Isn't it all to the good? He'll build the whole thing up for all of us. I'll be expanding the riding school side of my business. It's going to change the whole place.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, Kate Ryan, don't be an old stick in the mud. Think of all the people who'll come tripping across that footbridge to have a drink in your place. It'll be just what you need.
Well, that's just what I was saying to Kate. It could be the bit of luck we were always hoping for.
Of course it will, of course it will. Now, I must dash.
Well, he's clever, if nothing else. If there's anyone besides us who should be worried, it's Marion. And he has her convinced he's Father Christmas.
Look, Kate, we should...
Hello, everybody. Name's Patrick O'Neill. I just dropped by to introduce myself. We're going to be neighbours.
Oh, I'm John Ryan, and this is my wife, Kate.
John? Kate, it's a real pleasure to meet you. You know, Kate, my wife, God rest her soul, was also Kathleen.
Hmm. A drink on the house, Mr. O'Neill?
Oh, call me Patrick, please.
What'll it be?
I'll have a power.
Right you be.
I'll have one too, John.
Okay. Now, here you are.
John, Kate, to Ferns Court, the dream of a lifetime. And you know, I want you to be a part of it, too. I want all of us to share in it.
Well, sure, we'll be glad to share anything there is to share.
I'll drink to the dream and to your happiness and success across the river.
Ah, sluncher.
When you're right.
You won't find it too tame after New York.
All my life I've wanted to come back here. In the middle of all the big deals I've put together, I've always said to myself, Patrick, look at it this way. is one step closer to coming home.
And what exactly do you plan, or have you not worked it out yet?
Well, I'm going to rebuild Ferns Court just as it was. It'll all be in keeping and in the right period. I'm going to create a hotel for the kind of Irish-American who wants to feel at home again, like me. Our fathers and grandfathers all went to the States because they were thrown out of their homes, and now I aim to provide a real homecoming in every sense of the word for any American of Irish stock.
Mm. Well, I can't tell you, Patrick, what an excitement all this will be.
If you knew how often I have dreamed about this day, how often I've said to myself, like a prayer, let it happen, let it happen, and now I can almost say it has happened, and it will happen.
And how would we all come into this? How can we help you in it all?
But that's what good neighbors are for, isn't it? I'll get my guests to come to you. I'll tell you what. I'll send them over to you before lunch or early in the afternoon when maybe you could do with an injection. It's the bottom line principle of business, isn't it? One successful establishment leads to another. And now it's my turn to buy you two a drink. Gracie, how would you and Carrie like to come live with me in Ireland?
Oh, Daddy, that's wonderful. What's it like there?
Well, you'll see it all for yourself, honey, sooner than you think. Now pass me back to your Aunt Philomena so I can make a few arrangements with her.
Yeah, Daddy. A big kiss.
You too, honey.
Yes, Patrick. I have all of Grace's things packed.
And you'll explain the situation to the nuns.
Why, she won't be back in the fall, of course.
So, what do you think?
Well, you've always done whatever you wanted to do, Patrick. And to be fair, the rest of us have done well out of your endeavors. But it is quite beyond me to know why you want to go and undo the work of the very people who got us here. Our grandfather is sure as hell didn't come over here on the deck of a ship so that his grandson and his great-grandchildren should end up going back to the godforsaken bog that he left behind him. But it was never any use talking to you, and it won't be...
What is it, Pop? They pulled me out of class, you know.
Look, I just had to share some great news with you, son. The dream has become reality. I bought it.
What?
Ferns Court. And the land that your great-grandfather was thrown off. Carrie?
Yeah?
Listen, I heard about this great school over here. You can start in the fall. Look, anyway, we can talk about all that when I see you, right?
What? What do we talk about?
Oh, Carrie, do you know how many people are out there that have something they've always wanted to do in all their lives? They talk about it, and then they don't do it?
Like what?
Oh, come on, Carrie. Your mother and I talked about this for so long.
Mother never talked about it to me.
But you know that that's... You know that's what she wanted.
Maybe.
Of course it was.
Look... I gotta get back to class.
Carrie! Oh, God damn it. Yes, operator, I want to call New York City, 273-4443, person to person for Mrs. Rachel Fine.
He's only staying a few more days. He was in here earlier with some plans showing me an artist's impression.
Well, you never saw the like of
him. No permission or license granted yet.
That's a formality. Now, you shouldn't have refused good money. Kate told me you won't handle his business in case it might be in conflict with us.
Listen.
You're a decent man, Fergus, but there's no conflict. There's nothing but cooperation with that man. The best man you could meet. He'll put new life in the place.
Well, he paid me a call this afternoon.
Well, didn't you like him?
Oh, you couldn't not like him.
£3, please. I told
him that I'd feel it more sensible not to get involved in his application, just in case there was the unlikely event of one of my fellow parishioners wanting to get involved on the other side.
And what did he say?
Oh, he was charm itself. Said he quite understood. Said it was very ethical of me. Showed I was a man with a community spirit. Hoped he'd be able to prove that he felt the same community spirit himself.
Well, that's just it.
I know, John, but I have a feeling that Mr. O'Neill would never let his community spirit come between him and a healthy prophet.
Well, now, you're being a bit hasty jumping to that kind of conclusion when you've just met the man. You're a very impatient fella, Fergus, for all your education.
Look, you stop making fun of me. Wouldn't I need to be impatient with all that's going on around here?
Well, now, that's the last thing you need to be. There's all the time in the world. Look at all that could happen before any of this comes into being.
What do you mean?
Well, Patrick O'Neill has great plans, like fireworks, but they may never materialise.
Thank you.
look at those kids, will you? Extraordinarily beautiful. Grace looks like a shampoo advertisement with those shiny blonde curls of hers. So much like her mother. And Carrie. I can't get over how tall he is. Look at him. Looks more like a Swede than a Patty with that blonde hair and tan skin.
Oh, Carrie! Gracie, over here!
Why are there no signs for Mount Fern?
Town's too small to deserve a road sign, honey. It's only when you're on the road going past it that there are any directions at all.
Hey, it's only little now, Gracie, but one day everyone will know it.
There it is! Mount Fern! Half a mile!
Oh, okay, now, keep your eyes open. If you blink, you're gonna miss.
All right, honey, you see that big house over there?
Uh-huh.
That's Fern's Cove.
Wow!
You're gonna build all this up, make it like a was?
That's what we're gonna do.
It's gonna look like a castle.
That is the idea.
How much land?
Well, not as much as I would have liked. You see, when the Fern family lived in the big house over there, the people around here were their tenants. Then after Ireland became independent, the Land Commission broke up the estate into little pieces and gave the land to the local people. So I was only able to buy the ruins of the house and the land immediately surrounding it. And then I got a couple of acres from farmers who were anxious to sell. But you see, the problem is...
You don't want to be seen to be buying up the land, taken away from the peasants again, in case they think that you're the bad guy with the black shirt instead of the good cowboy.
Right, son. You got it in one.
Will all this be the gardens?
Yep, right down to the river.
Where will the entrance be?
Funny, that's still one thing in dispute.
Why couldn't it be here?
Here?
Yeah, here, where we are. This is the best view you'll get of the place with the river in front. Of course, you'd need to make this into a proper bridge and have that part of the drive. Very impressive.
Well, that's a great idea, but you see that pub over there? That's Ryan's pub. It's in the way.
Knock it down.
Huh? I can't knock it down.
Why don't you buy it? Then you can do what you want with it.
Okay, suppose we did that. What would you do about the family who lived there?
If they're running bars, then they could come work for us. Just move across the river. And they'd have a nice lump sum.
Well, I'll think about it. But as I was going to suggest that we have a drink there now, maybe we should sit on the idea for a while. What do you say?
Michael, come here to the landing window. What's up? Look, there's Mr. O'Neill. And those must be his children. Oh, he's so gorgeous. I thought you only saw people like that in films.
Good morning, John.
Oh, Jake.
You're welcome back, Patrick.
I just wanted to introduce my kids to you. Are yours around?
Well, they're not usually allowed in the bar, but we make an exception today.
This is Carrie. This is Grace.
Hello.
Very nice to meet you. What
do
you have,
Michael?
Dara? You come down into the bar for a minute. And bring Eddie and Declan with you.
Will you have a drink, Patrick? It's on the house.
Well, here they are. This is Dara and her twin brother, Michael.
Hi. I'm Eddie, and this is your Declan. He's the Bobby.
Hi, thank you, Eddie.
I'm Carrie. It's really great to meet you, and this is my sister, Gracie.
Hi.
Well, what do you think of Mount Fern?
I think it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen. You're so lucky to have grown up here, Dara and Michael.
We'd be glad to show you around the town.
We darling.
Oh, that'll be just great.
Okay. Thanks.
Come on.
Hey, can I go too? Mom, it's not fair. You'll never take me.
Well, maybe you'd like to show me around, Eddie. Just let me have a quick drink here with your mom and dad, huh? I'll go with you.
You should be able to find your own way around by now.
Eddie, Ryan.
No, he's absolutely right. But you know something? A local man like you always knows a place much better than a blow-in like me.
Are you a blow-in?
Now, Eddie, let Mr. O'Neill have his drink in peace.
So, Carrie, what do you think of your new school? One of the finest in Ireland.
I'm sure it'll look a lot better when they spend some of the money you signed over to them.
Well, I thought you handled Father Minahan very well. Dry old stick, wasn't he?
He's all right. He's a job to do.
What do you mean he has a job to do?
Well, he has to keep me in my place. Arrogant young American know-all. Take me down a bit. And then try to fleece you for his building fund. Irish American, more money than sense.
Well, it didn't take you long to figure him out, did it?
No. Gracie, you look great. You look so much older.
Older? In this uniform?
Sure. You look much more grown up than all the others here. Hey, don't let any of the local kids come on to you now, you hear?
Oh, Carrie.
I'm serious.
They're all really nice. Michael and Tommy and...
Oh, Gracie. Is that your new uniform?
Yeah.
Oh, you look fantastic. Here, let me look at you. Oh, baby. My beautiful little scholar.
Mm. Thanks. Carrie was just giving me all sorts of good advice.
Oh?
Yeah, you know, I just thought someone ought to give her some guidance.
What's that supposed to mean? I never marked your card, I suppose.
You were never around, Pop.
Look, fight if you want to. I'm going to bed.
I wasn't fighting.
Shut up, Carrie. Now, come here, honey. Now, listen to me. I couldn't fight with anyone. Not tonight. Not when you're all dressed up to go to your Irish convent school.
Yeah?
Oh, baby, come on. You make my heart sing. Oh, your mother would be so proud of you. I wish she was here to see you.
Me too.
It's like fairyland here.
Is your father glad he came?
Oh, yeah. He just gets upset over Carrie. They weren't getting on too well during the school holidays, and I know there's something on his mind these days. He won't tell me what it is. It might be Carrie, or maybe women.
Women?
Yeah, women falling in love with him. You know, I told you that yucky Marion from the Grange has. And there's this woman in America.
Who's the woman in America?
Mrs. Fine.
Isn't she married to someone else if she's a Mrs.?
No, his dad is separated.
Do you like her?
She's okay. It's just, well, you know, I don't want Dad to marry anyone else.
Wouldn't she be over here if they were getting married? After all, they're pretty old. They wouldn't want to be wasting time.
He calls her a lot. He called her twice on Christmas Day.
Don't worry about it, Grace, please. We can head off the awful Marians and Mrs. Fine can't be any threat. Otherwise, she'd be here.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
Think about something nice.
I know something really, really nice. Carrie's coming home from school today for the Easter holidays.
Taking everything into account, very often the greater good is achieved by the simpler option.
What did Carrie do?
There are so many explanations and ways of looking at what we do and
Father,
why we do it.
Father, I've driven for over 2 hours to a school where I thought my son was being educated, a school to which, I might add, I have contributed generously. And now I hear that you want him to leave. Why?
Let's take it slowly, Mr. O'Neill.
Let's take it at a nice, brisk pace, okay? Did he bugger one of the other boys?
Mr. O'Neill, please.
Was he drunk? Did he hit one of the masters? Did he mismatch?
I'm trying to explain.
Did he screw one of the maids? Did he deny the infallibility of the Pope? Now, if I have to take him out of here, Father, and leave behind buildings that I'm goddamn paying to erect, I'd like to know why.
He took a great deal of money.
Money? How much money?
£200.
And you've got proof of this?
Oh, yes.
And would you care to show it to me?
Do you want your son here?
No, I want to hear it from you first. Then we'll ask Carrie his side of things.
Well, we recently held a charity football match at the school here, and over 1,400 people attended and gave very, very generously to our good cause, the brave children, you know. Over £200 was collected. That money disappeared from the bursar's office. The search which followed revealed, among other things, that some of the senior boys weren't in their dormitory. They came in later over the wall and were met by a reception committee. Kerry O'Neill had an envelope with £57 of the collection still in his pocket.
No one could spend all that money in one night. What did he do, buy a couple of properties downtown?
He hasn't said what he did with it.
But he never said he took it, right?
He cannot say otherwise. He is not a fool. And send for Kerry now.
I'm afraid there's nothing to tell, Father.
You deny you took the money?
No. I can't deny that. Sorry.
Why? Why in God's name would you do that? You need money, I'll give you money. I give you a goddamn allowance every month, for Christ's sake. So what did you want it for? Father Minahan, would you leave us alone for a minute?
No, Mr. O'Neill. This is my study. I do not choose to leave it.
All right. That's your privilege. Now you ask me to take my son out of this school. I shall do that. And thank you for the part your community has played in his education.
Well, I have to say...
I hope you have to say very little. We're not going to discuss anything you might think is owed you, not so long as my donations to this school have been so generous.
I assure you that...
And furthermore, I expect full and favorable reports and references on my son's progress and achievements in this school.
Well, there would have to be an...
Otherwise, I will create such a stink that the smells stick around this school for 3 generations. I will expose you for blackmail to get subscriptions. I will go to the newspapers and tell them about the lax security and the discipline that would allow the students in your care to scale walls at night and disappear into the... And believe me, all this will be very unpleasant to you and your school. Get out.
Do you think I am?
Goddamn!
I'm your father!
You're a goddamn bug!
I'm your innocence!
You bug!
Shut up!
Jesus Christ!
There's definitely something up. The doctor was called up to the lodge where the O'Neill family are staying.
I've heard that he's pulling out of the whole venture. That he's fed up with the delays and messing going on with the architects and builders and planning people.
These Americans have no staying power. They want everything done yesterday. O'Neill has to learn it doesn't work like that here.
Oh, I don't know, Rachel. It's an unholy mess is what it is. God knows why I hit him. I shouldn't have hit him, Rachel. I could have hurt him. But he provokes the hell out of me. He's insolent. He still won't tell me what he did with the money. I love the kid, but I just don't know what to do.
Patrick. Since you didn't beat it out of the boy, you're unlikely to discover it by any further force. You've got to concentrate on damage limitation. Paper over the cracks.
Paper the cracks?
Just pretend that everything underneath is as elegant as the surface. You've waited so long to get back to your roots and realize your dream. Don't let it disintegrate into a public dogfight that would entertain the people for miles around. Give Carrie one more chance.
You ready?
Yeah.
Marianne's on her way over here to drive you to the train station.
Okay.
Look, I've been going over this whole business 100 times. You tell me that it wasn't for drugs, it wasn't for alcohol, it was hardly for a woman. You didn't lose it at the races, and if you bought something with it, you didn't get what you paid for. You won't tell me what you did with the money, and I haven't been able to figure it out. Now, on the other hand, I wish I hadn't hit you. But I did.
I don't mind. It makes us quits.
No. It doesn't make us quits, Gary. In no way does it make us anything like quits. It leaves me knowing that I...
Knowing that you cannot control your temper.
I'm also left with the knowledge that you stole a large sum of money for some purpose that you're keeping from me. Now, how can I build a life for us, for this family, if I can't trust my own son? All that's happened to you is that you got hit. Your life goes on exactly the same. New school, clean slate, reputation totally unsullied. Even to your little sister. You start this new school with nothing on your record. Now, this is your last chance, Carrie. Don't blow it.
Did Grace tell you they're going away on a tour of hotels?
Yeah, I know. It's deadly, isn't it?
I was sort of hoping Carrie would be around more in the holidays.
We haven't even got our den anymore.
We'll find somewhere else to set up house.
Dara, look. There's an opening down here. It
looks like a cave.
This has been built by someone. It's a tunnel.
Would there have been other ways into big houses in the old days?
Like back doors, you mean?
Dad, would you remember what Fernscourt looked like before it was burnt down?
No, Dara, I wouldn't. I was only 2. I mean, some of the older folk around here would, but don't go asking them too much about it. In those days, it seemed the right way for it to go, but... My own father stood looking at the flames from our front doorstep. But if you're interested, there's old pictures of how it used to look.
Would it have had tunnels out of a house like Fernscourt?
Well, I never heard of any tunnels around here, but I suppose there might be one. Of course, if you found one, you'd have to be very careful that it wasn't all crumbling before you'd go and explore it.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
All the lights of New York. You know, I often sit here after work and I try to imagine what you're doing in Mount Fern.
Would you believe it's actually 12 months since I bought Fern's Court and I'm only at the point now of knocking down the ruins so we can start to build? Jesus, Rachel. Sometimes I think it's just not worth the aggravation. I do love the Irish, but if I hear one more time, all right, child, Mr. O'Neill, no problem. No problem. Nothing but problems and delays. Why can't now mean now? like it is over here. Over there, it just means...
Manana. Yeah. Don't fret, Patrick. Look how much you've achieved already. How many grandsons of peasants have gone back to buy the big house and make it into a great business?
Why do you encourage me, Rachel, when you were so much against it at the beginning?
Only a very foolish woman wouldn't encourage a dream. What would you be if your dream were to be taken away, or if people talked you out of it? You'd lose your fire, Patrick.
Yeah, I suppose. They're going to clear off the ruins tomorrow. Maybe I should have stayed, been there to see it through.
No, no. Patrick, your first instinct was the right one. Be there for the building up, not the pulling down.
I'll bet you half of Mount Fern will be at Ryan's pub tomorrow watching old Fern's Court coming down.
No. I admit it, because this is a big day.
Nearly as big as the day we burned it down.
Wouldn't you think Patrick O'Neill would have made it here to see his day of triumph?
He's more interested in what's going up there than what's coming down.
Day. If we'd taken's like that more regularly, we could open a hotel ourselves, John.
Here, let's have a drink now that it's quiet. Listen, Kate, I've been trying to find a moment to tell you something. Just before he left for the States, Patrick called in to ask me would I consider writing a history of Fern's Court for him to sell in the hotel.
You're not going to, are you?
Well, yes, I thought I'd like to. I mean, he could have asked some PhD in Dublin to do it, but he thinks the local man would have the best feel for the place.
Can't you see? He's just trying to soft soap you. Get round you the way he does with everybody.
You think I wouldn't be able to do it properly?
Oh, John, no. I never meant that. Of course, you're the obvious person to do it. Nobody could do it better.
Well, that's just what I think. And there'll be a fee in it. I mean, it's a job, a real writing job, not just a few pages scribbled in a child's copybook. I mean, that's what you've always wanted. Something to show for it.
I don't know.
I was thinking one way to start is by looking up the old land registry documents. Now, maybe Fergus could lay his hands on some relevant ones for me. I mean, he must have access to legal documents like that.
I'll ask him tomorrow. You'll need him to explain a lot of it to you. It's very legalistic, all that stuff. Fergus would understand anything you put in front of him.
He's got a very quick mind, Fergus. You must find it a great change working with him.
Yes, he's great to work for. He's a real schoolboy, though. A tall, thin, overgrown schoolboy. He's not a fella you'd fall in love with. Not like you.
Well, that's all right, then.
So the great O'Neill is back in town. Everybody's getting excited, thinking there's a few bob to be made, and maybe they're missing their chance. Oh, look at those two miserable little farmers in with me now. Wanting me to make a claim for them that Patrick O'Neill didn't pay them enough for their little scraps of land last year. Men who never thought further than the bottom of a pint of Guinness before O'Neill and his dollars arrived. Well, I won't act for them, or their likes, and I certainly won't be O'Neill's attorney, as he calls it. I'm so worried about Kate. There's John scribbling his poetry in an exercise book and thinking O'Neill's a great fella.
Kerry?
Huh?
Mrs. Fine's coming.
She's not. You wouldn't dare.
I thought I'd tell you now so that you wouldn't make a scene.
Well, you can't mean to bring her here to the lodge.
No, not here. I mean to Mount Fern.
Is she staying in the Grange?
I don't know.
Oh, God damn! That's revolting!
Please don't make a scene. We've been over this 100 times. We've agreed it can't be true. Not all this time. Not at their age. I'll ask him if you like, huh?
No.
Let me ask him.
No, don't ask him. Don't sink to asking him. If she comes to this place, then he'll have to explain her.
So, this is the Sleeve Sunset Hotel. I just cannot believe Patrick has booked me into this dump. It's bad enough of him to say we can't stay in the same place for discretion, but to put me up in this... and then not even to come and meet me. My head is throbbing. Look at me. 48. I look 90. I could kill him. Come on, Rachel. Calm down. You haven't waited this long and put up with so much already to blow the whole thing now. He did ask me to come. That's something.
That's everything.
Thank you.